Good morning, brothers and sisters. We continue in the Ten Commandments this morning, looking at the Sixth Commandment. You're welcome to look at Exodus 20 if you'd like, or just listen. We're reading verse 13. Let us give our attention to the reading of God's law. In verse 13 of Exodus 20, it reads, "You shall not murder." This is one of the shortest of the commandments, and you have the series of commandments that follow after the Sixth Commandment that are very short, very simple, very terse. But like all of the commandments are a summary. They summarize for us in simple form what God requires of us. And as a summary, it has so many implications for how we live each day. Everything that we do, to some degree or another, connects to each of these commandments. And you notice I quoted the New King James here where it says, "You shall not murder," because I think it's a little clearer because, of course, the Bible does not forbid all killing. There is some killing that is required and appropriate on the part of civil government. But what we do see here when it says, "You shall not kill," or "You shall not murder," is that the Bible is a pro-life book, isn't it? The Sixth Commandment forbids all unlawful killing. And today we want to look at what the Sixth Commandment requires. It's obvious what it forbids, at least in its basic form. But what does it require of us? I've included the larger catechism here this morning, question 135. It says, what are the duties required in the Sixth Commandment? It says, the duties required in the Sixth Commandment are all careful studies and lawful endeavors to preserve the life of ourselves and others, by resisting all thoughts and purposes, subduing all passions, and avoiding all occasions, temptations, and practices which tend to the unjust taking away the life of any, by just defense thereof against violence, patient bearing of the hand of God, quietness of mind, cheerfulness of spirit, a sober use of meat, drink, physic, that is medicine, sleep, labor, and recreations, by charitable thoughts, love, compassion, meekness, gentleness, kindness, peaceable, mild, and courteous speeches and behavior, forbearance, readiness to be reconciled, patient bearing and forgiving of injuries, and requiting good for evil, comforting and succoring the distressed, and protecting and defending the innocent. That's quite the list. Well, what we see here is, if you know how to avoid breaking the Sixth Commandment, you don't kill someone, but there's a lot of ways you can keep the Sixth Commandment. A lot of ways you can encourage the preservation of life for our own lives and the lives of others. And there's a lot to cover here, so I just broke it down into two different sections. First of all, it speaks about the spiritual duties, so to speak, of keeping the Sixth Commandment, ways that we can fight sin in our hearts so that the unjust taking of life is avoided. And then secondly, also, it speaks of physical things, care of body, not jumping off of things, right? Not hurting yourself, not hurting others, those kinds of things. So let's first of all think about these sins of the heart that tend towards murder. The Catechism states that we should take all careful studies and lawful endeavors to preserve the life of ourselves and others by resisting all thoughts and purposes, subduing all passions, and avoiding all occasions, temptations, and practices that tend towards this. In other words, we have to be fighting the sin in our hearts that would cause us to hate our brother or sister. We know that our Lord Jesus said that to hate another person is to commit murder in the heart against them. You may recall from James chapter 4, James helpfully explains to us where these problems of conflict come from and dissension. He says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not." Now, when James wrote this, was he writing to a bunch of inmates on death row, explaining to them, well, here's why you're here. You were lusting and you had all these things warring in your members, and so that's why you're here. That's why you killed. That's why you ended up here on death row. Of course not. This is not a prison ministry verse, though it's certainly very helpful for that. But this is a verse to the church, to us. He's speaking of us when he speaks of those who lust and have not and kill and desire to have. Kind of fascinating to see James describing the church as such a criminal-ridden place, isn't it? But that's what we are without the grace of Christ. So James is explaining what's going on here. He's explaining what happens among us. If you're curious why there are wars and fights among us as members of the body of Christ, it's rather simple to explain. The lust in your hearts are driving you to fight against one another. What James says and what Jesus tells us is that there are murderers in the church. And so this commandment is very, very relevant for each and every one of us. The Apostle John tells us in 1 John 3 that we will know that we are in Christ if we do not hate our brother. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So does Jesus' warning and John's warning apply to you at any point in time in this church or in elsewhere in your Christian life? I can assure you that he touches every single one of us at one point or another. And what we need to see, brothers and sisters, from these verses is that the hatred in your heart is a murderous hatred. It is a dangerous hatred. It is a vile hatred that God hates. But it's important that we see our brothers and sisters as just that, brothers and sisters. How evil is it for you to hate your brother and sister for whom Christ died? If that brother or sister is so precious to the Lord Jesus Christ that he would give his very life for that brother and sister, then how could you hate them in your heart? So beyond that, the sins of the heart, we know that also we can keep the sixth commandment by carefully studying how we can preserve life in physical ways, avoiding danger, helping others to avoid danger. And whenever people want to explain how the Old Testament helps us, how the Old Testament law helps us, they use the classic parapet law. You've probably heard the parapet law. Because it's so simple for us to understand, Deuteronomy 22:8, it says, when you build a new house, you shall make a parapet for your roof that you may not bring guilt of bloodshed on your household if anyone falls from it. And the point of this law is so obvious and helpful to us, right? If you're going to be doing rooftop entertainment, you're going to have people walking around on your roof, you need to build a parapet. And there's probably some cases where a parapet might be helpful today for some of the young men who end up on the rooftop for some reason. But whatever the case, we need to be thinking of ways to preserve life. It says, avoiding all occasions, temptations, practices, which tend to the unjust, taking away of life of any, a sober use of meat, drink, physic, sleep, labor, and recreations. All of these things God has given us to use, not for the destruction of life, but for the preservation of life. And it's important, therefore, that we take seriously the importance of avoiding practices that tend to the loss of life. Now, when it comes to applying this principle, some take a more zealous approach than others. Some are very careful about what they involve themselves in, others not as much. For example, some would avoid rock climbing, certain types of rock climbing entirely because of the danger involved, and others get a lot of joy out of hanging off of a rock strapped to a rope. Well, how do we work through a situation like that? How do we know whether this is a violation of the sixth commandment? Well, we understand that there's some liberty of application here. But all of us should agree that we're going to think through that situation and determine how can I avoid the unnecessary loss of life. Perhaps I'm not going to put a person up there who's never been trained. Perhaps we'll use harnesses, those sorts of things. Young people tend to violate this the most because they think they're invincible. They feel invincible. And Even when they get injured, somehow they're able to make it through. But we're not invincible. And our lives have been given to us as a gift of God, and we don't have the right to take it just for fun. And so, like, we can't define the exact boundaries of this, but we consider carefully how each situation may tend towards the unnecessary loss, unjust loss of life, and therefore avoid such practices. So we've seen in the sixth commandment, we should not kill. But I do want to remind you that the scriptures do command you to be a certain kind of killer. Paul tells us, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. So you should not be a hitman of your brother and sister, but you should be a hitman of sin, a sniper of sin. You are looking for sin before it even approaches, trying to destroy that enemy from a mile away. That is the sort of killing that we are in the business of in the Christian life. So, brothers and sisters, as we see the sixth commandment, we see the vileness of our hearts, this murderous hatred in our hearts. I invite you this morning to confess that hatred to the Lord Jesus Christ and to ask Him to make you not a killer of one another, but a killer of the sin that will kill you. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we pray that you would grant us to have broken and contrite hearts because of these things. We have hated one another. We have lusted, and so we have murdered in our hearts. We ask that you forgive us for this wickedness. We pray that you would forgive us for hating those who you have commanded us to love, for hating those who you have given us as a gift, for hating our brother and sister who you have died for. We know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. And so we ask that you would turn us from being murderers of one another in our hearts to being lovers of one another because of the great love with which you have poured out upon us in our Lord Jesus Christ. Grant us to walk in love towards one another. Now would you take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.